pleasure to welcome Rocky Horner here today to the show on her debut at Gold Seek Radio, Professional Trader. Welcome, Rocky.
Thank you so much for having me.
Great to have you with us. And can you tell people just a bit about your background? And you've obviously, you know, helped an awful lot of people. You have at least three books with Wiley and Sons, all kinds of speaking engagements.
Now, I'm actually working on the fourth right now, so very excited about that. And I've been a trader for coming up on just over three decades now. So it's been an interesting evolution of watching where the markets were in the late 80s to where they sit now. And I've never been more excited about retail trading and where and what kind of access we have to multiple asset classes. So quite frankly, I trade it all, whether it's gold, whether it's crude. It just doesn't matter. If there's an opportunity and it's showing up on the charts, I want to play it.
You had some neat comments on the crypto space before the show. This is the future of finance as well as government and, frankly, blockchain. I mean, it's like rock and roll. I think it's here to stay. Give us any insights you might have on the topic.
Sure. I mean, right now up in New York, we've got about 8,500 people attending a conference. It's the largest one on the East Coast. And these people have paid $2,000 a ticket. And the reason I mention that is there is a small loyal following in cryptocurrency. But I think the error that most people make in the space is they buy into the fear about the cryptocurrency and it blinds them to the reality, which I think you and I are believers in, which is the blockchain. And it's not necessarily a one and the same discussion. You know, blockchain is where the future is. It may not necessarily be the crypto playing field we see right now, but there are going to be some winners that are emerging. And I think that anything other than accepting that this is an evolution of currency, I've been a Forex trader since, you know, 99, 2000, 2001. This to me is just the evolution of the foreign exchange, if you will.
You touched on this concern that people have whenever it's brought up, either it's ambivalence. It really just swings from one side of the pendulum to the other. It's so similar to the dot-com days with the internet revolution. Started off with Netscape, I think, was big back then, just starting to take off. I think this revolution might be just as large. It's sort of a Internet 3.0. Many of my top guests here believe that it's actually a technological leap well beyond the original Internet email and whatnot and voice over Internet. Give us your thoughts then on the market itself. Last year saw some frothy levels. I mean, a 20-fold advance. We don't see that every day. I know that really gets traders excited in something like Bitcoin and many of the altcoins, making that move look tame by comparison.
You know, I was as long Bitcoin as I was the euro last year. So to me, the fluidity of just accepting that I can be bullish on gold, I can be bullish on Bitcoin or Ethereum. And, you know, interestingly enough, we're going to see the Chicago Mercantile Exchange probably introduce an Ethereum futures contract probably this year, if not next. So that acceptance into more, you know, established exchanges like the Chicago Merc is happening. The single coin and the 5-coin Bitcoin futures contract, you know, a lot of people looked at that opportunity as an opportunity to hedge. So I love that there's more of a balanced view and traders are able to express their opinion on both sides, the crypto or even the currency, which to me crypto is an extension of that conversation. So, you know, as far as I'm looking at the market at the moment, I know there's a lot of naysayers out there. We talk about the 2017, 2018 markets as being some of the most hated, and people love to cite the PE ratios of a lot of these names. And yet, when you look historically at the way in which PE ratios perhaps foretell any kind of significant downturn, they're absolutely lousy at it. So, you know, to me, right now, I think traders really should, if they can, invest in things that, one, they understand. I think a lot of times if Bitcoin or currencies are daunting, stick with things that make sense. I think right now there's wonderful plays in crude oil. And I think a lot of the oil services, Schlumberger, Exxon, Chevron, Halliburton, with the Permian Basin, the Eagle Ford Basin, there's a lot of investment into what's happening there. So there's opportunity absolutely across the board. So I love that we can jump from crypto to crude, and it's still about the opportunity that's there for traders and investors.
on crude oil, you know, West Texas, we were advising folks at 30 and 40 saying 70 minimum, and now revising 90 to 100 per barrel, and as well as in the precious metals that have been bottoming for a while. Something of a disconnect, I think you might agree, between the greenback and commodities.
Gold, I think at the moment, we need to exercise a little bit of patience. We've watched gold sink through 1300, and so I think there's going to be an opportunity here. I just want to wait to see where the U.S. dollar tops out. I think the timing for gold is going to coincide with expectations that the European Central Bank is ready to announce to the world that they're going to end the asset purchase program, that they're going to complete the tapering that they've already begun. And that's going to allow the dollar to simmer down. It's going to allow gold to find a floor and the euro. So I look at those three markets together in the way in which that gold bottom could form. So, you know, keep an eye on the ECB. I've actually been playing in the meanwhile. It's a little bit more trader-oriented, but it's been a very consistent bounce around the 16 to 1620 level on silver. Today marks the fifth time that I've bought that zone, looking for a move up to about 1680 to 17. And then I'll look for the market to simmer down again. So if I'm an investor and I'm thinking long-term bullishly in gold, I don't have to get at, say, the 1680 or 17 level. I could just continue to accumulate every time we retest those lows. I'd like to see something similar in copper. So I think in the metal side of things, there's a lot of interesting opportunities for sort of patient traders and investors.
There are traders listening to our voices today. Nevertheless, the bulk of our folks are buy-in holders, long-term investors, and that's what we advocate and promote. And so, keeping with that theme, let's talk about the potential for retesting former highs in silver in the coming years, where we might head if gold were to break through that 14 to 1450 cap and the resistance we see there. Do you buy into the global inflation thesis that, you know, we've seen some signs of? I think you could make the case in the cryptos. People are moving away from currencies that are losing their purchasing power in favor of these cryptocurrencies.
When you look at what the central banks have had as their mandate now for a number of years, jobs and inflation have been a dual mandate for the U.S. and then pretty much every other central bank around the globe. It has been inflation. Hence, what I would not call a currency war, but certainly a race to the bottom, as so many of these central banks have embraced near zero, if not negative, interest rate policy. And while they don't want to tell the world that their inflation targets are met, because a lot, especially, for example, Europe, a weak euro continues to serve them. And so they know they've got to start hiking rates. I think inflation is here. But no central bank wants to admit it, because no central bank really aggressively wants to start hiking rates. So I think we're going to continue to see that dance play out when the reality is inflation targets are being met, but these central banks are going to continue to let those targets be overshot. I do think there's a path higher for gold, and it takes me right back to those central banks. It's right back to the ECB as far as I'm concerned. I am longer-term bullish gold. You know, if I were to step back and put on kind of more of a patience type, you know, mindset, that kind of view at gold at the moment, and I look at, say, a weekly chart, I look at the movement between about 1250 and 1400 as well within a range that we've seen since, you know, middle of last year. So that's really, in a longer term perspective, a wiggle that I'm willing to take. Wiggle meaning it might seem like a very wide range, but on our way to 1400 and quite frankly beyond, I have targets even longer term that are just above 1500, going to need these central banks to kind of help out. That strong dollar is going to continue to be a weight, but that strong dollar cannot, I'm looking at about a 12-month to 16-month timeline to when the ECB's hand's going to be forced to really start messaging to the market that they have to hike rates, and that's when I think we'll start to see that gold market move.
Why don't you direct the conversation to anything else you think our listeners might be interested in today?
Sure. Yeah. You know, right now I'm working on my fourth book, which is really going to be a book on what I feel is going to be more simple to use technical analysis. That's something that I focus on with my side project over at a site called simplertrading.com, which is making a lot of fusing aspects of market analysis, whether that be fundamental, technical, short-term, or long-term. As many of my members of the site like to call it, sort of a paint-by-numbers approach. How do we simplify these things and make them more understandable? And, you know, and part of that is waiting for certain criteria to be met. You bring up a great point. You know, I think to rush the markets into doing something they're not ready to do, it's such a disservice to most investors and traders, because if I imply a certain amount of impatience in a trade, I can't give them the patience they need in order to execute their trading plans and their investing plans. And there is a lot of power in time. There is a lot of power in patience. So, you know, for me, macro patience, you know, speed for my analysis, speed to change my mind. But once I've got that plan, really just step back and let it play out. Find me at simplertrading.com.
Well, it can't be any simpler than that. Please return to the show.
Would be my pleasure. Thank you so much for having me.